الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or somewhere to take in notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic will be, and maybe some of you have seen this before, RIP, meaning rest in peace. And whenever a person hears that a person died or something like that, they want them to rest in peace, or RIP, that particular individual. So, but let's look at that from the Islamic standpoint, pertaining to a person when they die, basically what happens to them. I'm not going into a lot of details about it because it's very detailed. I'm just going to give you some general information about when a person dies, according to Islam. And I want you to put whatever your understanding, your belief about death and dying, or a person being in their grave, I need you to put your understanding or your belief on the shelf for right now. Because if you don't do that and don't have a clear mind, you may not be open to hearing what I'm saying pertaining to what Islam says about what happens to a person in their grave or in the next life. Because we believe Islamically that we have this life and then we have the next life, and certain things take place with an individual in the next, pertaining to the next life. The angel, when a person is dying, the angels come to the dying person, and these are angels that come to him or her. And if the man is righteous or woman is righteous, they say, Come out, good soul, that was in a good body. Come out, praiseworthy, and receive glad tidings of mercy and fragrance, and a Lord who is not angry. And this is repeated until it comes out. Then it is taken up to heaven, and it is open for it. And it is asked, who is this? Meaning the guardians of, say, the lower heaven, because you like seven heavens. And so the nearest heaven will say, who is this? And it will be said to them, it's so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. And it said, welcome to the good soul. And that was in a good body. Enter praiseworthy and receive the glad tidings of mercy and fragrance, and a Lord who is not angry. And this is repeated until it is brought to the above, to the heaven above, which is Allah, meaning all seven heavens. The same thing is going to take place. Who are you? Who is this? This is so and so, son of so and so. And they welcome them. Matter of fact, you have some saying to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, where the angels want to like to hold this individual that is basically wrapped in this. I may get into it later on. They're wrapped in this cloth, if you will, or this clothing from heaven that's fragrant. And then, and it had this great smell to it. And then it would take it to the various levels in the heaven, the seven heavens up above. But on the other hand, but if the man was evil, they say, come out, O evil soul that was in an evil body. Come out, blameworthy, and receive the tidings of boiling water and a discharge of dirty wounds and other torments of similar kind. And other torments of similar kind altogether. And this is to repeat it. This is repeated until it comes out. It is, or then it is, taken to the heaven and is not open to it, or heaven not open to it, because it would be said, it would ask, who is this? It is said, so-and-so, son of so-and-so. This we talk about the evil person, the person who does not believe in Allah, did not believe in Allah. And it would say, no welcome to the evil soul that was in an evil body. Go back blameworthy, for the gates of heaven will not be open to you. So it will be sent back down from heaven, and then it goes to the ground or to the grave. And I want to also say, when a person is poor from the, then the good souls are poor from the good body, they are put out real gentle, like water coming through the faucet. It just comes out easy for the most part. And so they put them out very easy, and they wrap them up in this cloth, this beautiful smelling, good smelling cloth, perfume cloth from heaven. And then it was taken to the various levels that I talked to you about earlier. I mentioned earlier. And then the evil people, when they're disobedient to Allah, the one that disobeys Allah, and just did not believe in Allah, their soul is poured out of body. And what happens is that their soul is really trying to hold on to the body. And it's like these veins, or these sort of like strings that are holding the soul to the body, the soul is pulled out and they start popping, because you're pulling the soul for the body. So you have this disconnection between the soul and the body, and the soul doesn't want to come out because the soul pretty much know what's going to happen to it, because it was a soul, a disobedient soul, a bad soul, an evil soul, one is coming from an evil soul that is coming from an evil body. So I just wanted to give you some other background information pertaining to what happens to a person who believes in Allah and worships Allah, and the good soul coming from a good body, and contrast what happens to one that disbelieves in Allah, disobeys Allah, and a bad soul coming from a bad body. So I just want to mention that to you all. And of course, a person is put into the ground, and when a person is placed in his grave and his companions depart from him, he hears the sound of their sandals, or hear them stepping away. When a person goes to the grave, I may have mentioned this to you for another episode, when a person goes to a grave, three things go with them to the grave, and two things leave the grave, and one thing go into the grave with them. Three things that go to them with the grave, with them to the grave, is their family and their wealth. I'm going to mention the third thing, in the deeds. And then their family and wealth walks away from the grave, and what goes to the ground with them are their deeds. And they can hear the sandals or the footsteps of the people that are walking above his grave, walking away. It sounds like, and that's me making that sound, in case you wonder what's going on. And that's where you hear these people walking away, your family walk away over top of you, and leave you by yourself with your deeds, whatever kind of deeds that you may have. Then let's get to what the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, said about the grave and the torment in the grave. Because a lot of people say, R.I.P., rest in peace. And I have a question mark with this. Is a person resting in peace, or are they not resting in peace? I'm just giving the Islamic perspective. You can believe it or not believe it, but you're here for a class on Islam, what Islam is and what Islam is not. And I'm just laying it out to you or explaining to you the belief and the understanding from an Islamic standpoint of what happens to a person when their soul is taken from their body. Then they ascend to the heaven, very briefly like, and then they come down and they put into the grave, and they can hear the people walking over top of them, as I mentioned before. It was said that Aisha, the prophet's wife, asked the messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings be upon him, about the torment of the grave. And he said, yes, the torment of the grave is real. And Aisha said, after that, I never saw the messenger of Allah offer any prayer, but he would seek refuge with Allah from the torment of the grave. So I just want to let you all know that, yes, there is, and I'll probably get into this later on, yes, there is torment in the grave. And I know that we say rest in peace, but I want you to know basically what happens to the individual when they are in the grave, or what happens to the individual after they die. I want you to get a good understanding, a good foothold on what happens to the person upon their demise, or the soul is taken from the, separated from the body, and what happened with the soul going up to the heaven. And a good soul goes to the heaven, goes to the different heavens. Bad soul can't even enter into heaven. Also, it was mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings upon him, he mentioned that most of the torment of the grave is because of urine. There was a time that the Prophet had passed two graves, and then he basically said those people are being tormented in the grave. And then he was asked why they were being tormented, and one of the reasons why the person would be they were being tormented is because the person had urine on them. They never cleaned themselves or cleaned their clothing off from urine when they got through using the bathroom. And there's another reason why the other person was receiving torture in the grave. But I'm just focusing mainly on the urine for right now, and that he didn't put a plant or something, or a piece of a leaf or something on top of the grave. And he said, you know, may the person get relief from the torment they're receiving in the grave as long as this leaf is ripe and is good. But once it's withered away and it rots away, whatever, then of course the person's grave, well, they will continue to receive torture in the grave. And he also mentions that it was mentioned by Abu Huraira, one of the prophet's companion. He said, visit the graves, for they will remind you of the hereafter. So we don't go there, I may mention earlier, we don't go there to worship the grave or worship anyone in the grave or to praise anyone in the grave. That is not what we're supposed to do as Muslims. But we are to, from time to time, go to the grave. So remind us of the hereafter, that one day we all would be in the spot where the other people are, the ones who are already in their grave. It was their turn came up, and then it's going to be our turn coming up, and then the people as us going to look at our graves and maybe think the same thing. One day my turn will come up. I will be in the grave. And so I'm going to mention something else. I was mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He said, "Oh Allah, do not let my grave become an idol, which is worship. Allah's anger is severe against people who take the graves of their prophets as masjids or places of worship." We can't build in mosque place or worship mosques over it. We can't pray in the graves. Those are the things we cannot do. And of course, we cannot have monuments there and visit the grave and say so-and-so is a saint or this or the other thing, or save me, or you're the one that can save me from what's going to happen to me in the grave. No. The individual in the grave had their own issues going on. And may be tortured in the grave, being tortured in the grave, or not being tortured in the grave. And then on the other hand, we had to keep in mind that these are things that we cannot do as Muslims: worship on the grave site, build places of worship on the grave site, or worship the people who are inside of the grave. And another thing that the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, finally mentioned pertaining to the grave, is that he says, seek refuge with Allah from cowardness, from miserliness, the tribulation of the heart, and the torment of the grave. So we ask Allah for these things. Oh Allah, we seek refuge in you from being a coward, from being cheap or miserly, and also to not to receive the torture in the grave. So these are some of the things that we ask Allah to protect us from, and not let us be tortured in the grave. And so for a Muslim, we have a whole another perspective when it comes to RIP, rest in peace. We have a whole nother thought process or paradigm pertaining to what happens to the person in their grave compared to other people said, now he's at rest now, or she's at rest now, or they at a better place. We really don't know what place a person is, honestly. Because for a Muslim or non-Muslim, we really don't know where the person is. Their deeds sort of define what their outcome. They're being good, obeying Allah, that kind of thing. Okay, their outcome is more of a positive one. But they've been disobedient to Allah, not believing in Allah, not worshiping Allah, not doing Allah say up, you go down. Allah say go right, you go left. If we're doing those opposite things of what Allah says to do, then we may be one of the ones that receive torment in the grave. And so to say, rest in peace, or they're in a better place, again, we don't know if a person is in a better place. Only Allah knows. And they know if they're in a better place or not. It was also mentioned that when the Prophet, we went out with the Messenger of Allah, and peace be upon him, accompanying a man to the burial of an Ansar, which is one of the companions of the Prophet. When we reached his grave, it was not yet dug. So the Messenger of Allah, and peace be upon him, sat down. And we also sat down around him as if birds were over his head. He had in his hand a stick, and with which he scratched the ground. He then raised his head and said, seek refuge with Allah from the punishment of the grave. He said it three times. And one version of related that he hears the beat of his sandals when they go back, meaning the people who walk away, and at that moment he is asked, "Oh, so and so, who is your Lord, and what is your religion, and who is your prophet?" So these are some of the questions that the person will be asked in the grave when the angels come to them and ask them various questions, and they were said, "Who is your Lord?" They were asked, what is your religion? And they were also asked, who is your prophet? And you have another version that says, two angels will come to him, make him sit up, and ask him, who is your Lord? So we have Munkar and Nakir. They will come. They will come to the person that's in their grave, and have that individual sit up, and they will ask them various questions, and some of the questions I already mentioned to you, and that was, who is your Lord? What is your religion? And who is your prophet? And then he will reply, my Lord is Allah. They will ask, what is your religion? He will reply, my religion is Islam. They will ask him, what is your opinion about the man who was sent on a mission among you? He will reply, he is a messenger of Allah. May peace and blessings be upon him. They will ask, who made you aware of this? He will reply, I read Allah's book, meaning the Quran. believe in it and consider it true, which is verified by Allah's words, Allah's book. Believe in it and consider it true, which is verified by Allah's words. Allah established those who believe with the word, and that stands firm in this world and the next. And so I mentioned a lot of things to you all, and I also want to mention something else to you, and that is when the angels come to the person, and the person believe in Allah and believe in Allah, and he was answered questions in the right manner. After the angel said sit up, and then the person will sit up, and they will answer the questions. And they would ask the question, who is your Lord? And sometimes they would ask a question on what is your book, or they ask a question, who is your prophet? And so these are the questions that will be asked by the angels of the person in the grave. And hopefully the person will be able to answer the question without any hesitation and without any problem at all. And also, this is for the believer and for the disbeliever. And we'll ask everyone the same question. Everyone get the same three or four questions. And hopefully we'll all be able to answer the question in the right manner. And these angels, they do not play when it comes to asking the questions of the people. And they don't have any problem in asking the questions of the people. So I'm going to go forward, and it also mentioned that, and it says, who was the man who was sent on a mission among you? He replied, alas, alas, this is the person who does not believe in Allah. And this person will be asked, like I said, the same question. He will say, who is your Lord? He replied, alas, alas, I do not know. They will ask, what is your religion? He will say, or he will reply, alas, alas, I do not know. They will ask, who is the man who was sent on a mission among you? He will reply, or they will reply, alas, alas, I do not know. Then a crier will call from heaven, he has lied. So spread a bed for him in the hell. The clothing from hell will be on the door from hell will be opened to them. The summon the heat and the wind will come to him in his grave and will be compressed, and so that his ribs will be crushed together. And also, when these particular individual, they won't even be able to answer questions, because they will be asked the various questions, and then the angel would take like this hammer, and they would strike him, and if this hammer struck a mountain, the mountain would turn into dust, and you could just blow the dust away, and no one would be able to hear that sound of them crying except for maybe the animals. Mankind would not be able to hear the crying of the individual who is hit by this hammer. And that's the disbeliever. But the person who tells the truth about who is his Lord, about his book, who was the prophet, what was your religion, then this person will get a clothing from paradise, and a door would open to him into paradise, so that some of the air and perfume will come to him, and a space will be made for him as far as the eye can see. And so I just want to mention this to you all about the different things that take place after persons die. Death is not the end. Death is the beginning of the next life. Beginning of the next world that we all have to go to, and you can't avoid it. You can't say, no, I don't want to go to the next world. You don't have a choice. None of that have a choice. When the angels come to us, the death come to us, they will pour the person who is a believing person, a good person, pour their soul from their body in a gentle way. and caressing it pretty much and wrapping it in a cloth, if you will, a perfume cloth from paradise, and taking them up to the various heavens. But the person who is disbelieving Allah, disobeyed Allah, this person will be basically ripped, their soul will be ripped from their body, and then they will be wrapped in a sort of a woolen, coarse, if you will, cloth around a person's body, and its stench will come from the cloth, and they will be brought up to the lower heaven and say, "Who is this?" And say, "So-and-so, son of so-and-so," and this individual is not welcome here. They're not welcome to paradise because of the disobedience they did in the world. And then, of course, they will go and be put into the grave, hear people walking above them, their family and their wealth walking away from them, and then the angel will have them both rise up and ask each one various questions. The one who believe will be able to answer the question, and one who disbelieve will not be able to answer the question. And the one who believes will have their grave will be spread out, a lot of space in it. They will get nur, or they get the light from paradise. They will get the green gardens, whatever, from paradise, and they will have a restful time in the grave. It's easy for Allah to do this kind of thing. But the person who disobey Allah and disobedient to Allah, this individual will be first, they will be struck with the hammer. Also, that will, if you struck a mountain, it will just disintegrate it. And also, their grave will be constrained. It will constrain so much that it's like their ribs will sort of interact with each other. They were like one rib would go into the other rib. It was like it would intersect with each other, if you will. And they would see the torch in the grave because they were disobedient to Allah in this world. And so that's a torture they would receive in the next world. And they would not be able to answer the question that I mentioned earlier. So when talking about RIP, I put a question mark near it, because we really don't know if a person really is resting in peace or going to a better place. We really don't know that. Muslims, we don't know the outcome of the individual, but we do know and do understand what happens to individuals while they're in their grave or the afterlife. So you are my students. I'm explaining to you what Islam says pertaining to what happens to a person when they die, what happens to the person in terms of their body going up to the various level of paradise, heaven, or not going up, and they're being placed back in the grave or being flung into the grave if they're disobedient to Allah, sat up, asked to sit up, told to sit up, they would sit up and answer the question, "Who is your Lord? What was your book? Who was your prophet? What was your religion?" Asking all these questions, people who believe in Allah, worship Allah, they will answer their questions with no problem. But the people who are disobedient to Allah, alas, I don't know. I just say what people used to say about him. And so then they will receive the torture or whatever in the grave because of their disobedience to Allah and not believing what they should believe in while they're in this life, to help them in the next life. So I wanted you all to have the correct paradigm or correct thinking of a Muslim, a way of Muslim things. We're talking about a person being in their grave compared to a person who is a believer being in the grave and a person who is disbeliever being in the grave. This is the viewpoint of Islam pertaining to the whole concept of RIP, rest in peace. We have a different concept pertaining to it. The person may be resting in peace, or the paid person may not be resting in peace. But of course, you all have that choice while you have life in your body, breath in your body, to make the right choice of obeying Allah and having a restful time in your grave, or disobeying Allah and not having a restful time in your grave. You have been listening to Islamic Faith in Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.